John Honeyman has been enjoying a lot of travelling since he retired from a career in IT. He's living with retinitis pigmentosa, but he still manages to cycle and has in fact been travelling the Camino de Santiago, which is known in English as the Way of St. James. And this is a network of pilgrims' ways, or pilgrimages, leading to the shrine of the Apostle St. James the Great in the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Galicia in northwestern Spain, where tradition has it that the remains of the saint are buried. Now, John has recently returned from one of his trips and he joins us now in the studio. Hi, John.
Hi, Simon. Hi. Nice to be back.
You're looking well.
Oh, thank you very much. So are you?
So, I've not been anywhere, though.
Glasgow, there's nothing wrong with Glasgow.
No, you've got a good colour, so you're only back about a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So where have you been this time in your trail?
Well, I flew out to Santiago de Compostela. It was a friend of mine from Belfast that somebody had met previously on a Camino about 5 years ago who wanted me to chum her on the final stage of her Camino. She'd been walking along the Camino Francis. She'd already reached Santiago, but there's a final stage that goes from Santiago to the coast at the fishing village of Finisterre, which literally means the end of the world or end of the earth. So I was chumming her on that Camino. So we did that, and once we got to Finisterre, we decided to keep going. And there's actually an extension to that that goes northwards, obviously not westwards towards America, but it goes northwards to the town of Musia. So we did a triangular walk, and it was really, really wonderful.
So you didn't take the bike this time?
Didn't take the bike, no. I mean, I still cycle locally round to the co-op and things like that, but I tend to prefer walking now. I'm, you know, more at ease and I'm far more comfortable walking.
Yeah, I had to make that decision, and I think I'll get back on the bike, but I know that I'm not safe enough now to be on a bike, and it's frustrating. But you know, I look at it and I go, right, one day, and it's like it's not going to happen, is it?
Well, it is frustrating. I mean, you see, I do a lot of travelling, and I'm through the stations quite a lot, and you'll see maybe touring cyclists with their panniers packed up, and you look at them enviously. But then you know, I feel, you know, with a rucksack on my back, I feel complete. You know, I feel ready for the adventure. Let's go.
So what was the weather like then? Was it hot?
It was in the mid-20s, so it was pretty warm. But because it was on the Galician coast, the west coast of Galicia, there was a nice sea breeze most of the time. So it was actually a lovely cooling wind. So actually ideal walking conditions.
So what kind of people did you meet this time around? Because you never know who you're going to meet on a trail like this, do you?
That's the beauty of the Camino. Again, lovely people. One of the chaps was Hank, a guy from Holland. Now, he'd been walking from Amsterdam. He set out 10 years ago, but he's been doing it in stages. And he was about to complete his 10-year pilgrimage, 10-year walk from Amsterdam to Finisterre. So we joined him for the last 3 days, just by chance. We joined him for the last 3 days of his walk. So for him, arriving at Finisterre, it was a really, really emotional moment for him. You could see the emotion in his face, in his eyes, and it was a real privilege just to be with him at that point in his journey where he'd completed what he'd set out to do 10 years ago. So that was wonderful.
I suppose people do it for all different reasons as well, don't they?
They do. I mean, one of the things I really enjoy about talking to people is there is usually some sort of reason for doing it. And quite often it is, I'm not going to say a difficulty in their lives, but it's maybe a crossroads, or maybe something has happened, or maybe they need time away from normality just to think. And when you sit down with people, you can have wonderful conversations about their lives, what they like doing, and even some of the wee issues and problems that they're having. So, you know, when I think about retinitis pigmentosa and my sight loss, I think, you know, that's the biggest issue in the world. But then you start talking to other people and they have other health issues, relationship issues, career issues. So, you know, everybody's carrying some sort of niggling sort of problem in their mind. So it's really nice just to sit and talk to people. I mean, it's very positive as well, because you're enjoying each other's company, you're enjoying being on the trail, you're enjoying the surroundings. So it's just a wonderful thing to do.
Has it changed you, would you say, doing the trails and your perspective in life?
Well, yes is the simple answer to that. But I think it's, for me, maybe it's reawakened something. I think it's reawakened almost a childlike awe for the world around me. And it's maybe something that I lost in middle age when, you know, I was working, I had a job. There were, you know, there are always issues when you're working. There's things like office politics, there's things that don't go quite right. Sometimes things go very right and they're wonderful. But I think, in a way, it's a cliche to say lost a bit of myself, but I think I did. And now that I'm on the way and walking the Camino, it gives you a lot of thinking time. And I think I'm rediscovering parts of the younger me, and I'm really enjoying that. And I'm also feeling more settled about things like sight loss, which, you know, I mean, you'll understand that it's something that never leaves us, and you do spend a lot of time thinking about, and it can worry you and it can concern you. But on the Camino, for whatever reason, I was feeling that I wasn't thinking, I wasn't dwelling on these things so much. I was looking outwards at other things, you know, looking at the landscape, the people around me, listening as well. So it in a way, it has made a change to me.
And of course, you managed to clock up a new name since we spoke. You were kind of known as the Blind Pilgrim.
Well, yeah, which, yep. Well, not quite blind, but yeah. I mean, yes, you know, yeah, there's a bit of a sliding scale.
Oh, you were asked to do a bit of writing, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, it was RNIB through in Glasgow. It was Kate Vallis that asked me to write a wee article, which I did for the RNIB in Glasgow, and then a journalist from Santiago on one of the Galician newspapers, I think it was the El Correo Galego, got in touch with me and wanted to do a wee story in one of the newspapers in Galicia. So we chatted by text over the internet, and I sent her the piece that I'd already typed up for RNIB. And between that chat and that article, she put together something, and it was published on a daily newspaper. And I was really, really pleased with that. And she sent me a copy of the newspaper, or a PDF of the actual article. And when I was in one of the pilgrim hostels in Galicia, of course, they've got chatting to the person that runs the hostel, and I showed her the article, and I could see her reading it. She was reading the whole thing very, very intently. So it was a few minutes before she sort of then turned to me with a great big beaming smile. And, you know, that was just wonderful. And, you know, she later said, oh, it's fantastic to have you. You're famous. I was in a newspaper article, but it was just such a wonderful moment to have that wee connection.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting listening and thinking, I don't know if I could do anything as elaborate as that, it's not where you are, it's what you're doing, isn't it? So, I mean, there's plenty of places in the UK that you could do some safe trails and just sort of maybe set yourself some targets.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that on the way in and the train. And you're right about UK. There are many safe trails. The Camino that I've just come back from in Spain, that went from Santiago de Compostela to Finisterre on the coast. You can then follow the coast all the way up to Murcia and then back to Santiago. Now, that's, by normal standards, that's a very short Camino. That's 210 kilometres. So you could do that with, say, a week off. If you start on the, you know, fly out on the Friday and start on the Saturday, you could easily do that. So as an introductory Camino, I would thoroughly recommend that. Other things that I was noting on the trail there was the paths were very good, mostly very smooth, or there were small minor tarmac roads that weren't busy. The infrastructure was really good. There were plenty of cafes and, of course, bars as well. And as I said the last time, you know, the Camino, of course, does run on coffee and red wine, and shops. And the albergues, which are the Spanish name for the pilgrim hostel, there were plenty of them. So you wouldn't have to walk a very long day. If you wanted to do it in short stages or even just try it for a few days, it makes it very easy to do. And most of the hostels are very, very accessible. They'll have a disabled loo, which is very handy if it makes it easier, obviously. Sometimes when you have a locked loo to yourself to shower and dress. So I was very impressed with the high standard of the hostels, and not expensive either. The really nice ones were about €12 a night, and the municipal ones, which were equally good, were €6 a night. So I think looking at the infrastructure we've got in Scotland, we've certainly got the paths, the trails, but what we don't have is the kind of accommodation, the very, very reasonably priced accommodation that they have in Spain.
Well, for those that are interested and you've whet their appetite, can people get in touch with you to get a little bit of information about it?
Well, they could. Again, I was thinking about that, and I would really be pleased to introduce somebody to the trail or give somebody some information or practical information about how to go.
So what's the best way? Do you have a Facebook page?
I've got Facebook, yeah. John Honeyman. You'll find me on Facebook, or, I mean, either that or via yourselves at RNIB. I don't mind. But, you know, if I could be the catalyst for, you know, maybe giving somebody the confidence to do something like this, it would be wonderful.
And are you itching to get back on the trail again?
Yes, I've only been back a week, but yes, I have been studying Skyscanner app, looking at flights to back to Spain. So there is a route that I do quite fancy in Spain, and it's on the same part of Galicia, and it's called the Camino dos Faros. Faros being the word for lighthouse, dos being two. So it starts at a lighthouse in the very northwestern tip of Galicia, of Spain, in fact, and it goes all the way down to Finisterre, the lighthouse there. So that looks really, really interesting. I think it's a bit tougher. It's a wee bit more challenging. The terrain's a bit more challenging, and there's a bit more ups and downs. So I think maybe in late October or even into November, that's where I'm thinking about going.
Well, we'd love you to come back and tell us about your latest adventure. But in the meantime, John Honeyman, or a blind pilgrim, as he's been tagged, thank you so much for coming in to see us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me back.